Hare Krishna. To understand Krishna, stand under Krishna. Some religions and schools of thought say that because God is infinite and we are finite, we can never understand God. And this is how they try to rationalize the absence of positive knowledge of God in their religious traditions, in their scriptures and in their religious traditions. So, because many of the world's religions talk about surrender to God, but they don't have much knowledge about God per se. So is it true that the finite soul can never understand the infinite Lord? Yes, it is true, as far as our capacity is concerned. But by God's grace, He has the power even to make the infinite, to make the understandable to the finite. So, to understand this, let's consider the metaphor of a spark and a sun. Now, the spark has luminosity, the sun has luminosity. But the spark, by its own luminosity, cannot go around in the sky and look, where is the sun? It will not be able to find like that. Still, the spark has luminosity, and if there are things on the ground, the spark will be able to illuminate some of those things. So similarly, we are like sparks, Krishna is like the sun. By our finite intelligence, we can't understand Krishna ourselves. But still, because we have intelligence, there are other material things around us which we can understand to some extent. So when you just, as the folk of spark illumines those some things, similarly our intelligence illumines things. And that's how we have got so much knowledge in so many branches. Now, normally, we acquire knowledge about material things by standing above them. Standing above means that we subject matter to our control. We are subjects and matter is object. And we control matter and subject it to various stimuli and observe its behavior. Like one of the standard methodologies in material science for understanding matter is use of controlled experiments. Controlled experiments means that the environment where the experiment is to be conducted is strictly monitored and controlled so that no extraneous influences are coming in, and then that particular object is subjected to certain changes, certain stimuli. For example, if alkali is there and then acid is put in it and then it changes to a salt. Now, if the environment is controlled, then we know that nothing else has caused that change. It is the injection of the acid only that has caused the change. So, we can understand then, okay, by the mixing of acid and alkali, we get a salt. So, this is the doing of controlled experiments. So, in controlled experiments, we stand above matter and we observe, we analyze, and then we comprehend. So this is how we normally study matter, and then we take this approach even to the study of God. And we try, if we try that, that approach will fail because we cannot control God. He is above us. We are below Him. We can't stand above Him. So if we want to understand God, we have to stand under God. What does that mean? We have to be submissive. So we can't do controlled experiments on God. Then is there no scientific way to understand God? Yes, there is. There is spiritual science of Bhakti Yoga. Now, Bhakti Yoga is a spiritual science in the sense that it has the characteristics. It is predictability, there is repeatability, there is clearly defined methodology, and there is a theoretical foundation to it. It's a theory and experiment which are there in science. So it is there in Bhakti Yoga. There is a philosophy which gives a theory, and there's the religion. There are the practical activities which we do, which comprise the experiment. So there are controlled experiments also in Bhakti Yoga, but the difference is in the object of the experiment. Because we can't control God, so the object of the experiment Bhakti Yoga is not God, but we ourselves. So we have to do the controlled experiment on ourselves. That means we subject ourselves to the procedures that are given in the scriptures by God. So our consciousness itself becomes a laboratory. and we conduct the experiment of regulation and purification of our consciousness. We avoid certain activities which take us away from God, and we do those activities which take us closer to God. And these are the proscriptions and the prescriptions of Bhakti Yoga. When we do these activities, by that we become purified. And then by this endeavor, we show Krishna our desire to know Him. And once we show Him our desire, He becomes pleased. And by He becomes pleased by what? Not just by what we are doing, but by our attitude in what we are doing. By our devotional disposition, He becomes pleased. And then He reveals Himself. The Bhagavad Gita says in 18.55, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yascha asmi tatvatah tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. So, Bhaktya mam abhijanati, that it is by bhakti that one can know Him. Yavan yascha asmi tatvatah tatvatah, as He is, in truth, we can know by bhakti. So, it is Krishna who does His self-revelation to us when He is pleased by our devotional disposition. So at the same time, it is not that we who are causing Krishna's self-revelation. Just as the spark cannot demand the sun to rise, the sun will rise of its own accord. Similarly, we cannot demand to Krishna, and because I am practicing bhakti strictly, Krishna, you must reveal yourself quickly. No. Krishna will reveal Himself by His own sweet will, according to His time. And that non-demanding attitude is also an aspect of standing under Krishna. Standing under Krishna means being submissive and being patient, obeying His instructions and waiting for Him to give His grace. Now, this patience may seem to be quite demanding. How long will I have to wait? But it is rewarding. No matter how long we have to wait, it is nothing as compared to how long the result will be getting. We will get eternal existence. Because when we come to know Krishna, when Krishna reveals Himself to us, He doesn't just illumine our head. Krishna is all attractive, and when He reveals Himself, He attracts our heart to Him. And once our heart is attracted to Him, then it is no longer attracted to the sources of bondage and suffering in material existence. And attraction to Krishna means liberation from material existence. It means returning back to Him, to live with Him forever. And that is what makes this patient wait, this standing under Krishna, supremely worthwhile. Thank you. Hare Krishna.